Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio, and this is October 15th, 2022, and we are Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor Dr. Elder Marie Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have a spirit-filled lesson on today. So let's get right into it. Announcement. Please keep this ministry, the Amazing Grace Ministries, in your prayers as we undergo changes and restructuring. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those who have sent in a donation. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this last 3 months of 2022. And if you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, M-A-Z-G-R-A-C-E. M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S at gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. And we have an exciting lesson. So please tune in. And if you want to tune in this lesson live, the link is http://tobtira.com/s/1215596. Now, life offers us some real challenges that will cause us to question what we say that we believe. The COVID-19 pandemic seems to have undermined the faith of many believers. While there are those of us who realize that trust in God in challenging times require getting to know him in a close and personal way, our faith is not by sight. Often what we see is our struggle does not always give us a positive view of our God in our struggles. Gideon is a prime example of whether God had their best interests at heart while watching their enemy abuse them. God commissioned Gideon to be Israel's deliverer. Why would the Lord call us when our past is bad, our present circumstances are unfavorable, and we're exhibiting a questionable attitude? We will discover that our past does not counsel God's plans for us. Our present predicament won't change our possibilities. God's presence assures us victory and changes our perception. Today we have a word that will captivate your mind, illuminate your heart, and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, a greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for a new perspective. In addition, allowing the grace and favor of God to guide our path, the theme for this month of October is Shifting for the Fall. Holidays are coming. And the lesson for this third Saturday in October is God is in it with you. Amen. It's good to know. Our text is coming from Judges 6, 1 through 2, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the den which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Judges 6, 11 through 16. And there came an angel of the Lord, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let me give you some history of the lesson. The book of Judges was written by Samuel around 1045 through 10,000 B.C. It is an important book because it lays out the social, religious, historical, and cultural context that illumines our understanding on how and why the monarchy rose during the time of Samuel. The title of the book, Judges, comes from the Hebrew word shapeh, which means to judge. A shapeh is described as one who defends a just or right cause. Whether as someone who hears cases and render judgment, or as military leaders who deliver an oppressed people. There were 12 individuals who served as 4 years. Ahud served 80 years. Shamgo served, the time he served is unknown. Deborah, and some say Deborah, served 40 years. Gideon served 40 years. Tola served 23 years. He served 22 years. Jephna served 6. Ibben served 7. Elon served 10. Abdon served 8. And Samson served 20. Now, the book of Judges covers the period between the death of Joshua and the establishment of the Hebrew monarchy. Moses brought the children of Israel to the threshold of the promised land, and Joshua led them across the Jordan. Under Joshua, the children of Israel divided the land and began the lengthy of trying to conquer the land by defeating the Canaanites. After Joshua died, there were no principal leader of the Israelites. They became a people who had no one chosen by the Lord to lead them. When the generation that began the settlement of the land died, there arose a new generation who neither knew the Lord nor the things which she had said he'd done for them. Judges 2 and 10, and this is the King James Version. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for them. The absence of a strong central leader plunged the nation into a time of chaos, confusion, and conflict. It was a time of tremendous internal turmoil, disobedience, and infidelity towards God. During the time of Joshua, Israel was a blessed nation who was finally realizing the fulfillment of the covenant promise first made to Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. During this time, the Israelites were loosely organized confederation that consists of families, clans, and tribes, each with their own sets of elders and leaders doing as they saw fit. Who is Gideon? Gideon was the fifth judge and renowned as the greatest of Israel. The account of his life is recorded in Judges 6, 11 through chapter 8, in verse 32. The backdrop for Gideon's biography begins with Israelites being ravaged by the Midianites as a consequence of Israel's disobedience to God. And this is Judges 6 and 1. Gideon lived in the northern Israel in the tribal area of Manasseh. He was the youngest of Joash, the family of Abiezer there. He is also called Jerubbaal. Scholars suggest that Gideon lived in the region that bordered the tribal area of Issachar, Ephraim, and Zebulun. The tribe of Manasseh was comprised of the dependents of Joseph and the grandson of Jacob. Manasseh was the firstborn son of Joseph and Asenath. That's Genesis 41 and 51. Joshua took considerable pride in his son because the Lord had caused him to forget his hardship and pain. When Israel prepared to cross the Jordan to enter the land of Canaan, half the tribe of Manasseh chose to remain east of the Jordan because they believed the land to be better suited for the raising of their flock. You can read that in Numbers 32, 1, 4, Joshua 13, 29 through 32. The remaining of the tribe of Manasseh settled in the land of Canaan in a region occupied by the Canaanites. You say, well, who were the Midianites? The Midianites were descendants of Abraham by his second wife, Keturah, with whom he had 6 sons, one named Midian, Genesis 25 and 2. Prior to his death, Abraham gave all 6 of his sons gifts and sent them away to the east, which would have taken them into the region east of Jordan. Most scholars believe they settled in a region south of the Dead Sea near the Gulf of Aqaba and southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. It was in this region where Midian found the nation of the Midianites. The land of the Midian and the Midianites were not strangers to the children of Israel. They were distant relatives of the Israelites. After slaying the Egyptians, Moses fled to Midian to escape the wrath of Pharaoh, Exodus 2:15 through 21. While in Midian, Moses is married the daughter of Jethro, the priest of Midian. For 7 years, they faced evasion from the Midianites, Amalekites, and Eastern foreigners who ruined their crops and destroyed their cattle. God's discipline through the foreign nation caused the Israelites to cry out to God for help. Judges 6:6, and this is the King James Version. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. God sends them a prophet to remind them of how the one true God had provided for them in the past and how quickly they had forgotten him. Judges 6:8-10, and this is the New Living Translation. The Lord sent a prophet to Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I brought you up out of the slaves in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and found all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in those lands you now live. But you have not listened to me. Now, the application of this lesson. God's goodness is obvious. Our past does not cancel God's plans for us. Because they had done evil in the sight of God, the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. When they could not bear no more, they cried to the Lord, and he responded with a plan of deliverance. The prophet of God came first, and his conclusion was that they would not listen. Then the angel of the Lord showed up while Gideon was hiding, making his personal perception of God's absence from their pain and the enemies appearing to have the advantage over them as God's people. God does not answer his complaints, but responds by commissioning him. Despite the past and despite their complaints, this was the evidence of God's favor and grace. How many times can you count the evidence of favor in your life? Maybe it was that car accident you missed, or that robber that robbed the neighbor's house just two doors down, or even just another opportunity to be in the land of the living God. That is God's favor. The book of Lamentations says that his mercy is new every morning. Secondly, God's grace is offered. Our present predicament will not change our possibilities. Gideon underestimated God's ability to do something with him. So often, we do not have strength and confidence in what we have, and as a result, we feel defeated and unstable and unusable. God simply wanted Gideon to go in his strength that he had, and God's grace would do the rest. We need to trust God with what we have. The definition of grace is the Greek word kindness. The acronym God's riches at Christ's expenses can even define grace. Through God's grace, we have salvation, forgiveness of sin, a relationship with God, access to God's throne, the ability to endure trials, and sustaining power in our walk with God. Grace is what God does because he is gracious. Every action of God towards us involves his grace, his creation, his providence, his conviction of the sinner, his gift of salvation, his equipping of the saints, and the future he has prepared for us. All of this is due to God. God's strength will be made perfect in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and this is the New Living Translation, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need, my power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Lord is simply saying, I will be with you. Third, God orchestrates the outcome. God's presence will change your perspective. When God is working his plan, he doesn't leave the outcome to us. The Lord said to Gideon, you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting one man, a majority. Our outcomes in many of our struggles and challenges are weakened when we reason God out of the equation. He is a very present help in tough situations. Psalm 46 and 1, and this is the King James Version, reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In conclusion, what we think of God does not change what he knows about us, nor what he plans to do with us. In God, there is no failure. Doubt may rise, pain may be the task, but with God, all things are possible. He is in it with us to the end. Philippians 4:13, this last scripture I want to leave with you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord God of the heavens and the earth, we come humbly before your throne of grace. God, you're so good, and your mercies endure to all generations. God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, the great I am. Oh, God, we thank you on this morning. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up, God. We thank you for giving us a mind, God, to get on the blog, Lord, and hear a word from God. Thank you. And then, God, we just ask you to just continue to lead us and guide us as we shifting for the fall. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for any sins we have committed knowingly and unknowingly. And then, God, forgive us for any shortcomings that we may have. Because, God, we know that with you, failure is not an option because you are with us. And we thank you on today, Lord God. Lord God, we just looking, asking you to just look on the your people everywhere, God. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name. You see the need, Lord. Supply the need. Give each according to your will, God. God, look on the Carey family, Lord God. Give Dr. Carey, her mother and father, just strength, God. Strength like no other, God. Bless her in her endeavors, God, as she do your will, God. And then, Lord God, look on our leaders, Lord God, on our worldly leaders. Then, Lord God, look on our church leaders, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for my leader, the administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, God. Elder Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, Lord God. Look on the mothers, Lord God. Look on them, Lord God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, God. Mother Garnett, God. Oh, God, go and do something for her, God. Hallelujah. Let her know that you're with her, God. Look on Mother Christine that's in Texas, God. Look on Mother Norman and Mother Maxine, God. Oh, God, continue to bless our Dean of Music, God. Missionary Olivia Boyd, God. Touch her, God. Comfort her heart, God. Look on Prophetess Brown, God. Oh, God, you know what every and each individual need. Mother Luckett and Dr. Bradley, God, you know what they need, God. Do it for them, God, according to your will. Look on the ministers, the elders, God. Hallelujah. Look on Dad Ellis, God. You know what he needs. Comfort his heart, God. Oh, God, be with them, God. Look on Mother Moore, God. Oh, God, we just thank you on today, Lord God. Look on my children, grandchildren. Look on the listeners' children, God. Their grandchildren, God. Their family, God. Keep us. Keep us in the center of your will, Lord God. Hallelujah. Keep us, God. And then, Lord God, we ask you to look on Sister Renee as she lost her husband on this week, Lord God. Give her the strength that she needs, God. Continue to look on the bereaved family, God. The sick, the lost, and the shut-in, God. We come to give you all the glory. We come to give you all the honor. And we come to give you the praise because it all belongs to you, God. And we just thank you on today. Then, God, we just ask you just to be with us. Be with us in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your president and CEO is the elder Dr. Maria Carey. And your co-host is yours truly, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week. I'll be returning same time. And remember, God is still in control. Wear your mask. Be mindful and enjoy the remainder of your day. Be blessed. And have a wonderful day on purpose.